Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 279. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It is going good. We're getting close. We have 2 more days of recording this till we have a spring training game. So that's rather exciting. And yeah, I cannot wait. We'll be in Florida in a week and a half. That's also going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward to everything coming up, baseball being back. It is going to be good.
I'm just looking forward to getting to that warm weather down there in Florida. It's been obviously on the cold side up here in Maine in February, especially lately. Like today, it was, wanted to start my car and it was what, 11, 12 degrees, something like that. Just
jeez.
The wind has always been just whipping lately. So that just adds another element of cold. Like it's not even, it sounds crazy, but it's not even as too bad without the wind. But when you factor in that wind, it just gets so brutal at times. But yeah, getting into hopefully some 70s or 80s down there in Florida and next. Man, like a week and a half, play out next Friday. Well, yeah, 9 or so days away. It's very exciting. And then obviously baseball, actual games here for spring training coming up, like you mentioned. That's always fun. College started recently, several days ago. So it's good to have some live baseball back in the feed on Twitter for sure, instead of just videos of last season. But we are continuing our dynasty buy sell week here. We did infielders on Monday. We got outfielders today, and then pitchers will round out the week on Friday. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us. And make sure to check out all the great stuff going on over at RotoBaller. Chris and I both write there. There's a great team across so many sports of content. And you've got great tools. It's everything you need to help you succeed this fantasy season. Use that code TOOLSHED and you get 10% off any premium package, baseball, football, basketball, whatever you want. You get that discount. So go check that out over at rotoballer.com. So for this one, again, we're doing outfielders, but we had a hard time finding a lot of sells in the outfield. So shifting in a little bit from 6-6 over to 4 sells and 8 buys to give you a few extra buys there. So still talking about 12 putters overall. These are some tricky names. As we mentioned in the infield show on Monday, the sells are often hard and sometimes not popular, but we got 4 of them here for you, starting with a guy that's probably top 20, 25 in nearly every dynasty ranking right now.
Yeah, so the sales won't be popular, as you mentioned. And let's go ahead and start with a pretty saucy name of Luis Robert Jr. Luis Robert is interesting. He is coming off a career season. We know that. He was absolutely stellar this past year. He hit 38 home runs, if I'm not mistaken. My computer's not loading, so I can't confirm. 38 home runs.
That is correct. I have him in so many teams. Then yes, that is correct.
20 stolen bases with a 264 average nonetheless, but and it's a 315 OBP. So Luis Robert, I am cashing out high on because I do believe there is some pretty serious volatility here with the profile. He's often injured, which is a concern in my book. He ended the season early with a mild MCL sprain in his left knee. So that in itself is a little bit concerning. I'm sure he's okay. I haven't heard otherwise of him not being okay this offseason. But you look at the history of the health and the track record, it's just not great. Played, had 296 plate appearances in 2021, 401 in 2022. And then he had the big year and had 595 last season. So it was a major standout year. The tools are there for Robert. We know he's got big power. We know he's got speed. He does everything that you want out of a player. But I do think this is the time to cash out on him in Dynasty because I think you can get a top 20 asset. And I just prefer to do that personally. I don't really buy the health and the performance. He had an average of 44th percentile at 89.1. The barrel rate's really good. He had ideal angles. So 15.4% barrel rate, 93rd percentile, rather good. But the hard hit rate, 58th percentile. Awful chase rates, over 40% regularly. So third percentile chase rate. The whiff rate, 33.5%, meaning that he only made contact. It's a 66% clip. That was 10th percentile. High strikeouts. He doesn't walk. I think this is just the perfect opportunity to cash out on Luis Robert Jr. because the value and the potential return. And I just am not sold that we're going to see him be this kind of player year over year. And I think that you can get a really solid asset for him right now. I know he's 26. I know he's still young. I know middle of his prime, coming off a really good season, but the injuries, the contact concerns, the lack of hard hits, like those are all reasons that I'd rather cash out and try to get a top 20 value now while you still can.
Yeah, I'm very conflicted by Luis Robert. I love Luis Robert. I think he's, you know, a phenomenal talent. I just hate where he plays. Obviously, there's the White Sox, there's not a lot around him anymore, and it seems like the level of talent on that team is dwindling each and every week. And yeah, a lot of everything you just said is 100% spot on, though. The profile is risky. Even when everything's going right for him, I was always waiting for that next, the other shoe to drop, whether it's the aggressiveness getting the best of them or the I think the durability, something's always popping up with him. We remember the previous year when he missed like what, 22 of their final 25 games without going on the IL or something like that. And those of us that had him, especially if you were in head league, like, that was just a killer. So yeah, I'm not opposed to that. I've entertained the thought myself. I do have him in a lot of dynasty leagues. I think he's probably one of my highest rostered players, as I got him way back when in most of those leagues. So definitely something I'm considering as well. I am going to go over to Cincinnati. And again, my two were, I struggled, and Chris can attest to this. I was struggling to figure out names to put on this list, but I'm going to go with TJ Friedel as my first one here. And let me just say that I don't think Friedel's bad. I don't think his season was entirely fluky, but the reason why he's on here, I just think there's a better chance that his value dips from here than it goes up. That's basically the main reason why he's on here. Now, he's a good pure hitter. I think all the plate discipline metrics are pretty solid. His zone contact rate right around 87%. Overall contact rate is about 81%. Doesn't chase that much. Doesn't whiff much at all. Whiff rate's been below 20% every year. But he did a lot of his damage on fastballs. Hit 340 against fastballs with 14 of his 18 home runs. Below 200 against both breaking and off-speed pitches. He had, you know, one of the bigger differences between his actual average and XBA. The XBA was only 240. Power metrics are below average. 3.2% barrel rate, 86.7 average exit velocity, and 27.6% hard hit rate. So those are all, you know, in the bottom, what, 10% or so of hitters in baseball. Actually, bottom like 7 for all of those. He's one of the few, I think it was like 5 or 6 hitters. And Isak Paredes, who Chris had last episode, was another person that fell into this kind of category. People that had more home runs than barrels this past year. Friedel had 18 home runs and 13 barrels. And yeah, his home ballpark certainly gives him a nice little boost there. But I think he still could be valuable. He's got hit, you know, high in the lineup for them when he's in the lineup. Maybe he does sit against a tough lefty. But you know, if he's getting another 550 plate appearances, I think he still hits like 260, 12, 13, 14 home runs and 20 plus steals. But again, I think there's a better chance that his value goes down from here than up. So I would capitalize right now on TJ Friedel after his maybe career year last year when he had 18 home runs and 27 steals. But Friedel's my first guy. Chris, who's your second sell?
All right. So yeah, for my second one, I'm heading over to Baltimore and I'm going with Cedric Mullins. Unfortunately, I do Cedric Mullins, but I will say I am a bit concerned with all the prospect talent that is coming in Baltimore, that Cedric Mullins eventually begins to lose out on a role. And I think this is a real possibility here with Mullins. Yes, he's still a solid player. He still does a lot of things well, but he has begun to set against more lefties. So that's obviously a bit concerning when he's sitting against lefties already. I don't know. I just look at the profile and I'm saying, okay, they're not playing him against lefties at all, which is fine. Weak side or strong side platoon. So he's still going to get at bats there. It's not really much of a worry. But when I look at the rest of the profile, okay, we've seen some regression. He obviously had that big 30-30 year in 2021. He followed it up. He had 16 home runs, 34 stolen bases the next year. Okay, that's pretty solid. 258 average, but the average has dipped every year, 291, 258, 233 in 2022. So that's a bit concerning to begin with. The fact that he's not playing against lefties, okay, that's another kind of red flag in my book. He's 29 years old. He doesn't hit the ball overly hard. His sweet spot percentage was one of the worst in baseball at 28%. Just everything all added together, it makes it like, okay, we know they have a lot of talent on the way. So Mullins eventually is going to lose out on spot. And I think his dynasty value has already taken a decent sized hit. I think I'm pretty comfortable saying that. But I still don't think it's too late to cash out on Cedric Mullins, because there are plenty of people that still believe they like the power speed potential. But I just look to cash out. I try to get a top 100 to 125 type player. And if you can, I think it's a win in my book. Obviously, you're not going to get a top 50 player that you could have gotten right out of 2021 when he went 30-30. Probably could have got a little bit even higher type player. But we take what we can get, and I'm certainly taking what I can get with Cedric Mullins here and cashing out in every league that I roster him in.
You're making our buddy Justin Mason roll over right now. That's always been his boy, but I have to agree, though. I was debating Mullins on here as well. Again, I think he's still going to have some value, obviously, in the next couple of years. But, yeah, I do see the value continuing to drop even more. So, definitely agree with that. This next one was my hardest one. I'm going Nolan Jones here for my second sell. And this is not because I don't believe in Nolan Jones. I do, just not at the level he showed in a few areas, mainly the average. Even with the BABIP boost that you get from Coors Field and the thin air there in Denver, Colorado, I do not see him hitting 297 again. I just don't. Will his average crater? Probably not, but I do think that he's more 260 to 270 range, because the contact rates are just not that good. Zone contact was about 10% below league average at 71.5%. Overall contact right around 68%. Whiff rates around 32%. It doesn't chase that much, but I just see the average being good 25, 30, 35 points lower than it was. OBP should be fine. He was always a decent walker guy in the minor leagues. So I can see the OBP remaining pretty solid, 350 to 370 range. Again, a bit lower than his 389 mark from this past year. And I also just don't believe that he was on like a 32 or so steal pace last year. And when I put out a tweet about 3-4 weeks ago about the guys that I project to go like 30-30, 20-20, etc., I didn't have him in the 30-30. And I might not have even had him in the 2020 category. And people were like, oh, what about Nolan Jones? He did 2020 in just 424 play appearances, which he absolutely did. I just don't see – he's a solid runner, absolutely. He's not slow. But I just don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to run a ton. Maybe probably not 20-plus. No, it won't be surprising. But I would bet more on like that 15 range, 25 to 30 home runs. So, again, this is still a good player. No doubt about it. Now, if he's still 260, 25, 15, that's still like a top 100 player. But I think the value has crept a bit too high because of last year. And I had Nolan Jones in a couple leagues. I got him in redraft leagues, and I had him in one or two dynasty and keeper leagues. So I was happy to ride that wave. I've since already sold off one or two of those shares and didn't keep him in another league because I had better options. But I just don't – I think you could probably maybe cash out and get a top 50 player right now. And I think, again, he's settling more like a back-end top 100 guy. So that's why I have Nolan Jones as my second sell. But let's get over to some of the more positive ones here. There's a lot of buys. Like, we probably could have added a few more each. There's a lot of other guys I was looking at, and I'm sure Chris was as well. But for our first buy, or for Chris's first buy, he's going with one of the funnest players in baseball to watch.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. And the buys are a lot more fun than the sales, that's for sure. I'm going with Jazz Chisholm Jr. When I look at Jazz Chisholm, honestly, I don't see a ton of differences between him and Luis Robert, except that Jazz hits the ball much harder than Luis Robert does. That obviously is something to take note of. They've both had their share of injury issues. We've seen that Jazz only had 383 plate appearances last year. But in those 383 plate appearances, he hit 19 home runs and he stole 22 bases. So that's pretty substantial in itself, that in a little over half of a season, he put up a 2020 season, pretty much 19-22. That's huge. He certainly has his contact issues. We've seen that. He only chased a 27% clip, which is good. That's actually much better than MLB average. But there's the flaw of the poor launch angles, hitting the ball on the ground too much. There's certainly warts in the profile. But last year's ground ball percentage was actually a pretty big outlier comparison to 2022. 50% last year, 39.3% in 2022. So I'm curious now what he looks like coming back, but it is. He's an electric player. We saw him move to the outfield last year from second base. They have a ton of second basemen. So that was interesting. Like they have, I don't know. I'm looking at Jazz and thinking like, okay, if all clicks right, this is an easy 30-30 type player. And even with a little bit of a diminished average, you can take the hit because the counting stats are going to be there. He had the weird turf toe stuff last year. He did have surgery on that. So hopefully having that out of the way, he's fully healthy this year. Also dealt with knee stuff. It was just a weird year of injuries for Jazz. And that's kind of the story of his career, which is concerning. And I'll be the first to admit that. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm completely comfortable with like him being a star player. But what I am comfortable with is his cost right now. I can take the upside risk and shot on Jazz with him costing so little. And this is the cheapest that his value's ever been. He's 26 years old. I think that this could be the year that if he stays healthy, his value just skyrockets to like top 25 status. While it's a risky play, I think the cost is baked in the risk at this point. So if I have the opportunity, I am looking to buy Jazz Chisholm Jr. in a dynasty league.
That's funny. I think I can make a case for him being both a buy and a sell, which is weird to say and not something I can say about many players. But if you look at one side, you're like, all right, obviously the talent is incredibly high and he's had some injuries. So that kind of goes into the buy low aspect. And then you look at some of the sells. I'm like, all right, he still had a good amount of value right now because of the name and what he's done in limited time. But does he become more durable and can stay on the field? Do the contact rates improve? So he's just such a weird profile. I love Jazz. As a baseball fan, I love watching Jazz. One of my favorite players to watch. How can you not be? He's so exciting. But yeah, he's just a weird profile right now. I could see him being top 25 overall this time next year or outside of top 100. So this would be a fun year to see what we get from Jazz Chisholm for sure. I'm sure Miami really need him to be something because the rest of that lineup doesn't have a lot of impact players. But I'm going to my Boston Red Sox here to start up my section of buys and going with Jaren Duran. I don't know if you follow me. I've tweeted about him a few times this offseason. You know, Alex Cora recently said that Duran is the leadoff guy for this team, which is not always surprising, but always nice to get that confirmation from the guy that's going to be making out the lineup card. And you look at what Duran did last year, 295, 346, 482, 8 home runs, 24 steals in 362 plate appearances, and had some pretty solid metrics under the hood. Not a super high barrel rate, but average EV was right around 89 miles an hour, and he's always been in that range, 89 to 90 miles an hour on the average EV. Hard hit rate jumped to 46.3%. K rate dropped. Walk rate's always been from the lower end, 6.5%, so that's a bit below average. Started driving the ball in the air more consistently this past year, dropped the ground ball rate by about 12.5%. Chase rate's always been a little high, not terribly high, but zone contact around 86%. That's pretty solid. Overall contact rate around 76%, also solid. And obviously he's a plus or better runner on top of all of that. So look at what he did over a full season. You could probably get 15 home runs. Maybe gets pushed to 20 at some point soon. But 15, I think, is realistic. I think you could be easy 30-plus steals. He had 24 last year in just 362 plate appearances, stole a bunch of the minors as well. So maybe he even pushes 40. I think that's definitely in play. And maybe he won't be 295, but definitely projects as at least like a 270 hitter. And if he's going to be leading off more often than not for Boston, hitting in front of Rafael Devers and Tristan Casas, I think he's going to score a ton of runs as well. This could be a guy at first with 100 runs scored. And I think looking at his ADP, obviously this is for Dynasty, not for redraft, but ADP has been chilling at 170 or so. And I think he's just super underrated. And I put up a poll like a month ago, who would you rather have, him or Josh Lowe? And obviously it was, I forget what the percent was, but it was overwhelmingly to Lowe. And then I was like, all right, well, here's some metrics here. Yeah, I have Lowe ranked higher than Duran right now, but I think it's closer than people think. And I think that makes Jaren Duran a great buy right now. I think he's going to have a really good year. And again, maybe like a 15, 35 year or something like that. So great buy right now for Jaren Duran. Chris, who you got next?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply. You know you got the
most. Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
All right, so I am looking at Jordan Walker as a really good buying opportunity, in my opinion. It's so weird to me that people looked at Jordan Walker's season and was like, this guy was not good. Even the Cardinals apparently thought that. They demoted him at one point last year. He had a 116 WRC plus in the majors as a 21-year-old. He even began the season as a 20-year-old in the majors. He didn't turn 21 until late May. This guy posted a 116 WRC plus. That's pretty dang good for a 20 and 21-year-old in the majors. Finished the year at 276, 342, 445 slash. He hit 16 home runs. He stole 7 bases. And he looks to be back better than ever. I am really excited about the breakout potential when it comes to Jordan Walker. And I'm curious to know his value. I don't know exactly where it is for dynasty purposes, but I do know that it's not as high as it was this time a year ago. Because when he was so good in spring training, everybody was talking about how this guy was like he was going to be the NL rookie of the year. So everybody was expecting a huge year, and he had a good year. But it ultimately wasn't good enough for some people. I still love Jordan Walker. The frame is incredibly good. He runs really well. I don't know. I just think he's going to have a big year. I think 30 home runs is in the cards. I think he could steal easily 10 bases and give you a respectable average, as we've seen. And there are some videos that have surfaced of him really cleaning up his mechanics in the box a little bit, a much simpler stride, which he doesn't need. I mean, he didn't have a big leg kick. He had a little bit of a bigger stride, but he's got the power where he doesn't need to try to generate a ton with a leg kick or anything like that. Jordan Walker, I do believe that he will be one that probably you look back and say, okay, this is the lowest value that he was at this time in Dynasty, because I really do think that he's only moving up. And I would be buying if I can.
1,000,000% agree. I almost put Walker down here too. I still have the same long-term outlook on him as I did a year ago. Since now, if I can acquire him at a much discounted price, maybe not much discount, but a little bit of a discount, yeah, 100%. No doubt about it. All right, I'm going to stick in the National League Central, go to Seiya Suzuki, the Chicago Cubs. And I love Suzuki. Just watching him, on the field, like his demeanor too. He's just a fun guy to root for. And the metrics last year were really good. He had a little bit of an up and down first few months of the season. But over the last 2 months of the season, he was one of the best hitters in baseball. From August 1st through the end of the season, 350, 406, 667 slash line. This was in 207 plate appearances, 15 doubles, 12 home runs, 9.2% walk rate, 17.4% K rate. His MLB ranks over that time frame: average third, OBP ninth, slugging second, ISO fourth, WOBA third, WRC plus third. And you look at just overall, the metrics under the hood are all just really good across the board. There's not a lot of like bright red, but he has a lot of his sliders are like 75th to 85th percentile. Quality of contact, 10.5% barrel, 91.5 mile an hour average exit velocity, 48% hard hit rate. Keeps the K rate in check, walks at a solid clip as well. Hits all three pitches fairly well. Had XBA above 260 on all three of them. Again, doesn't whiff that much. Drives the ball in the air. A lot of line drives from Suzuki, more than league average. And he gets got an 84% zone contact rate, 79% overall contact rate. Doesn't chase much at all, below 20% there. Just a lot of good metrics across the board here. So I think maybe he's not going to be the hitter he was end of the season and be a top 10 guy or anything like that. But could he be in the middle and at the same time have the best year of his career? Absolutely. Yeah, I think he could be a 280 plus hitter. He was overall last year, 285. Yeah, that end of the season line really boosted his numbers overall, but he absolutely can continue to hit 280 over a full year. I think he could approach 30 home runs this year and give you, again, 8 to 10 steals where he's been. A lot of runs scored, a lot of RBI as well, hitting in the middle of a pretty solid Cubs lineup. I think there's a lot to like here, and I think he's going to see his value jump up into probably like that top 60 to 75 overall range, high-end outfield 2 territory. And I think he's just a great buy right now because I don't think people realize how good he was to close out the year and how good the metrics are across the board. It's a really fun profile and a really safe profile at the same time with some upside. That's a profile I always look to invest in. You're definitely looking to invest more in Seiya Suzuki this year. Who you got next, Chris?
All right. So got some good names so far and some kind of bigger names. So I'm going to reach a little bit deeper with this one and go Matt Wallner, who has been a popular sleeper type name, but I really think that Wallner might be poised for a big year this year. 26 years old. Last season, he hit 14 homers in his 254 plate appearances, and he mashes. He hits the ball hard, a 92-mile-an-hour average EV, 19% barrel rate, like talking best barrel rate of any hitter in baseball, good. Matt Wallner really has the power traits that you want. It's just the contact that's the question. Certainly, he plays up in an OBP league. If you play an OBP format, he walks a lot, so he's going to benefit you there. But in an average league, the question is, like, how much does he drag you down? He did hit 249 last year, so that's respectable. But the contact rates are not great. And that's the biggest question mark and a reason I think that he's not quite as high as it potentially could be, because the power kind of suggests that you're looking at a 30 home run bat. So a lot of potential there with the bat, with the power. He questionable against lefties. He may play, may not play. But I do think that with a cost as low as it is, like, Wallner's not going to cost you hardly anything to acquire. And ultimately, he might not even be rostered in your league, depending on how deep of a league you're in. Wallner, I look at, and I'm like, man, this guy is an easy buy for me, especially if you're in an OBP league or even a points league format that doesn't negate for Ks. If it's negative for Ks, then you may hurt a little bit, but OBP points league monster, big pop. I think you're looking at a 25 to 30 home run bat over a full season this year, even if he platoons and sits against lefties, which I'm okay with, actually. Probably helps the average a little bit, but yeah, I do see Matt Wallner as a really good buy.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. A lot of power in that bat. I'm gonna go AL Central as well and go Riley Green here, because I think the value has dipped a lot more than it should have. And it's funny because I was a little, not anti-Riley Green, but I think a little lower than most back when he was a top prospect. But again, I think the value has just dipped too far to the point where I think he's now a solid buy. And yeah, the ballpark doesn't help. Comerica's not a great, we know that, but His metrics across the board are pretty good. Yeah, there's some swing and miss. K rate, not terrible, 27, 28%, but you can live with that. Contact rates, again, below average. Contact overall, about 72%. Zone was closer to 80, below average, not terrible. But quality of contact, 11.3% barrel, 91.6 average exit velocity, 47.2% hard hit rate. Walk rate's right around league average. Can run a little bit too, 71st percentile sprint speed. I think you could see pretty similar production from him and Nolan Jones this year. I think both could be around like 260, 270. I think both are 25 home runs and 10 to 15 steals. And yeah, I have Jones a little bit higher right now, but I think the perceived value gap between the two is larger than it should be. And I think you're going to see a nice bounce back year from Green. But another issue that I need to at least bring up is the fact that he's had some injuries that he's dealt with, and we still don't know. I think he's going to be good to go this year. Does that injury reoccur? Hard to say, but I'm going to bank on the metrics here. And the Detroit lineup could actually be sneaky good this year, at least better than it has been. And I think the perceived value has dropped to a point where he's a good buy right now. And I think you can get him for a non-top 100 price tag, and I still have him as a top 100 guy right now. So Riley Green is a solid buy right now for sure. All right, Chris, who you got next?
All right, my last pick, Homer Central right here, with Jared Kelnick of the Atlanta Braves. Kelnick, when you look at the profile, you're like, okay, this guy has the intangibles. He has the tools. And I feel like I've just hammered on this like over and over again. But now Kelnick doesn't have to put any pressure on himself. Big part of the issues when he was in Seattle was he was deemed the savior. Like he was going to be that guy that came up and was the savior of Seattle. Like he was the top guy before Julio came up. And he just never handled the pressure. He struggled mentally. He struggled to, especially when he struggled on the field, like it certainly affected him mentally. We saw the effects of that last year, kicking that cooler, breaking the foot. That's the side of Kelnick that doesn't get talked about as much, just the mental side. But he was traded to Atlanta. Now he's the seventh, eighth best hitter in that lineup. There's no pressure for Jared Kelnick to perform at all. He can just be himself. He can do his thing. He hits the ball hard. He's still got speed. He just needs to make a little contact. But I really do believe that Kelnick is going to be a potential 2020 bat. And even if he hits 250, it's a really good value with where he's going in redraft, where he's valued in dynasty. I think I would look at Kelnick and say, okay, he's such a low-risk investment at this point. The value's lower than it's ever been. We saw the flashes early in the season of Kelnick looking really good, looking like he was putting it all together. That's the kind of player you could potentially get if you trade for Jared Kelnick right now in a dynasty. I do think he's a tremendous buy. The cost isn't going to cost you too much. I don't think he's going to cost you a top 200 asset, probably a little less. And if you can get him for that price tag, I think it's worth it because 2020 players don't grow on trees. There may be even more in the tank for Kelnick. So if you can get him at that kind of price tag, I'm doing it in a heartbeat. Buying Jared Kelnick, new Atlanta Brave, new confidence, new team, new city, in for a big year in 2024.
Man, who would have ever thought I'd be the number two ranked Jared Kelnick supporter on this podcast? But no, it's spot on. Like, less pressure. Still some talent there. I really hope that Kelnick tears it up this year. Because who's in the same division as the Atlanta Braves? The New York Mets. I want him to hit like 380 with 8 home runs this year against the Mets. That would be phenomenal. But yeah, I don't have... Do I still have any Kelnick shares? I think I do have one Kelnick share left, which is a lot less than I used to have. But yeah, I still have some faith there. Is he going to be the stud we thought he was, or I thought he was a couple years ago? No, probably not, but there's still a path of some solid fantasy value there for sure. All right, I'm going to round up the show. I'll be a homer, too. Recently acquired outfielder for my own team. Yeah, I'm going with two Red Sox, but hey, it fits. And I am going with a third. There's a lot of good values in the Red Sox right now. I'm going with Tyler O'Neill for my last one here. Guy that I've always liked, dating back to his prospect days. Guy is absolutely just jacked. I saw a video that I tweeted out that from, I forget who was, Pete Abraham, one of the Boston guys that are down there at spring training. Just like a picture of him in the backfields. And man, he is a real life Larry the Lobster from SpongeBob. He's absolutely ripped. And we know that. And I think it was his mother or his father or both. I forget. One was a bodybuilder. It's like a lot of good athletes in the O'Neill family. And the last couple of years have been rough. Just 2021, that huge year, 34 home runs, 15 steals, hit 286, 352, 560. He hasn't come even remotely close to replicating that season. But you know, even through all the struggles of the last couple of years, there have been some improvements that I think just have flown under the radar. So you look, let's compare 2021, his career year, to last year. Zone contact rate, 8% higher, 7.6% higher. It was 73.9% in 2021, 81.5% last year. Overall contact rate, 2021, 65.3%. Last year, 72.2%. Chase rate, 27.6, down to 25.3. Whiff, 34.7, down to 27.8. So there have been some improvements in just terms of being a better pure hitter for O'Neill. And yeah, the quality of contact has dipped a bit, but still good. I mean, he's not 18% barrel rate, but still 12.3. That's still well above league average by about 5.5 percentage points. Still has a 43.5% hard hit rate over the last couple of years. And another thing that's actually improved that I forgot to mention, K rate, 31.3, down to 25.2. Walker rate, 7.1, up to 10.5. So if he can just stay healthy, again, that's a big if. He's had some issues staying healthy, but I like the ballpark. Boston's going to have at least a solid lineup. He'll probably hit somewhere in the middle of it, probably like fifth or something like that, driving Cassis and Devers and Duran and all of them. So I think if he can just stay in the field and get 50 or so plate appearances, I think you're looking at a really nice bounce-back year from Tyler O'Neill, who's still only 28 years old and still has a lot of good stuff there. And I mentioned all the improvements he made as a pure hitter are very encouraging. And obviously, the power is still pretty good, too. So he's a sneaky athlete, too. He had 80th percentile sprint speed. So I think you could be looking at a 25-15 year from him. Maybe not getting up to the 2021 levels, but I think he can get at least close if he can stay healthy. That's the X factor here. But that is going to wrap up the show. To recap, the sells, Luis Robert, TJ Friedl, Cedric Mullins, Nolan Jones, the buys, Jazz Chisholm Jr., Jaron Duran, Jordan Walker, Siya Suzuki, Matt Wallner, Riley Green, Jared Kelenic, and Tyler O'Neill. We will be back again on Friday with the final episode of this little series here with some pitcher buy and sells. But until then, everyone take care.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its Rain Rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.